Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rich Campbell from the Chicago Tribune covering the Chicago Bears. Good morning, Rich. How
morning,
are
Rich.
You?
I'm great, guys. How we doing?
Well, that's a good question because I thought Hall of Fame performance in the first half of that game by Khalil Mack and the Bears were doing great. Akeem Hicks had a great half. I mean, they were rushing and knocking quarterbacks out. And then the second half was the game that everyone will talk about when one of the games everyone will talk about when Aaron Rodgers goes into the Hall of Fame. He ended up really directing an amazing comeback, and the Bears failed to finish, as we just heard from the head coach. So where are they? How are they doing? What are you expecting? What, you know, when you look at that game, we saw kind of not just two different halves. I mean, I understand Khalil Mack. I understand a guy that's walking out of a LA Fitness and dominating the league, and that's not going to last all game. But I guess I don't understand what happened with Mitchell. I don't understand how you go off script and all of a sudden you can't play anymore, and all of a sudden they forget to run the football at some crucial points. What went wrong there? Do we look at that game as what went right or what went wrong?
Yeah, it's such a hard thing to process because I think we all expected some good and some bad from a team that had been inconsistent in all phases throughout the preseason, and you'd heard Matt Nagy say it needs more time. But the good and the bad were so cleanly divided between the first and second half that, yeah, you have to wonder just why it was unsustainable. And with Mitch, I think we could separate that from the defense because you understand Mitch is going to be up and down. Now, to come out 7 of 7 for 104 was jaw-dropping, and then he went 16 of 28 for 67 yards the rest of the game. And there are some big problems there with him seeing the field and his pocket poise. His accuracy got away from him on some throws that, frankly, he needed to make. And when the guy on the other side is Aaron Rodgers, you definitely need to make those. But the defense, for me, they stopped tackling. They weren't getting their hands up as Aaron Rodgers was getting the ball out. They weren't batting down passes. The secondary really ended up having a bad game. And, okay, it was a Hall of Fame performance by a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think there are things in this game for whoever wants to see it, whatever way they want to. I do think it's worth pointing out or worth asking ourselves, if the Bears played like that against 31 teams, how many would they beat and how many would they lose to?
Good question.
I think they would beat more teams than they would lose to. I mean, it took Aaron Rodgers with a performance for the ages to beat them by 1 point on the road at Lambeau.
That's great context.
So,
it is.
So I think you could put it, you can frame it that way.
It is great context, Rich, and I think that you're exactly right. And if I had to check a box, I would say agree or disagree with that assessment. I would say agree 95%. But here's the thing: how patient can Chicago be? Do you anticipate Bears fans will be? And I guess what is fair to the patience level for a coach who's basically learning on the job. And that's not meant to be as critical as it sounds. But you point out this morning, and you write this, and I agree with you. It says, you know, this is Matt Nagy's 7th game of calling plays for in an NFL game. He deserves leeway to grow into the job and prove he can gain a feel for situational calls and how best to put a game away. He's clearly not there yet.
You look at that 3rd and 2, and I think that one will stay with him for a long time. Because the Bears were at the Packers 14, 2:47 left. They are 6 feet from victory formation. Okay, they just need a first down, game's over. And instead of giving it to Jordan Howard, who was averaging 5.5 a game, they went with a quarterback in his 13th start, throwing to a rookie receiver, making his first start. And they had the matchup they wanted. So in Nagy's defense, they got a great matchup with Tariq Cohen on this swing route against an edge defender, Reggie Gilbert, the matchup Nagy would kill for. Okay, Tariq Cohen on a vertical route against a 260-pound edge guy, Mitch didn't see it or he didn't like it, and he didn't go there. That's something he's got to identify and make the throw. And that's something that when Mitch sees the coverage at the line of scrimmage or he sees the alignment, he's got to know right away he's got that matchup. Why didn't he make that play? Well, you know, what was he seeing there? For me, I think we're talking about Mitch a little bit more than Matt, and how patient are the fans going to be with Mitch when games are getting away from them. I think Mitch really needs to have a good 3-game run up to this bye week where he gets to 16 games for his career. That'll be a nice milestone for him. He's got 3 more starts to the bye, 3 more starts to 16 games for his career. And then I think we're all going to have to take a hard look at where he is.
And I think we're trying not to say it, but that was a monumental collapse, frankly, because of what you just described, because the cornerback had the ball in his breadbasket and couldn't hang on to it, because all they needed was a play. And you know, Aaron Rodgers will deliver plays. That he's been doing that since he got into the league. The idea that he came back in the game and beat them is not surprising. What's surprising is they couldn't make one more play on offense or defense to win the game. And I think you're right. I think they will make one more play. I think when we compare them to other teams in the league, there aren't a lot of teams that are going to make the extra play on them. But they were there. They had it won, and they collapsed. And you got to worry that they don't know how to win.
That's going to be a big theme this week up there, I think. And so it'll be worth talking to a player like, for example, Trey Burton, who was on a losing team that figured out how to turn it around and ended up winning the Super Bowl. The Kyle Fuller drop is such an interesting play because for everything that happened offensively, play calling, the quarterback, and even some of the bad plays in the secondary, that's the one. it all boils down to catching the ball. We talked to defensive backs coach Ed Donatell about this on Monday, and he referred to it as a flash catch where maybe Fuller doesn't see the ball coming on him and he gets his head around late. I thought that was a really generous description for Fuller. I think he saw it coming all the way, and he just dropped it.
He just dropped it.
He just dropped it.
Hey, listen, it might have been tipped at the line. I've heard 1,000
reasons.
He dropped the ball.
Yes. And so this was not Kyle Fuller, you know, in a prove-it year playing, you know, for his next contract. No, they paid him. He's making $19 million this year. You got to make the play. And this is one of the themes that has followed this Bears team through their last place run over the last 4 seasons is you don't have the defensive playmakers, the game-changing play-making guys. And as they went to halftime, that was no longer the case. They had Khalil Mack. He's taking the ball away. He's a monster.
Yeah.
They couldn't put it together. You know, they couldn't augment that. And I think as you sit in week one, now our question is, how does it change? Okay, that's the starting point. How does it change? They should be, you know, they should beat the Seahawks if they play the way they did the other night. They could go to Arizona and win. They could beat the Buccaneers at home in 3 weeks. So if they go to the bye week 3-1, okay, then maybe we can measure their progress in the context of this. But that second half showed everything that they still need to accomplish.
Do you know what the other element? The other element of it was Clay Matthews made one of the worst plays you're ever going to see in football. That guy had one tackle for the game, and he has a late hit on the quarterback to give them another set of downs, and they couldn't take advantage of it. They got the mistake that they needed.
The break.
And that's it. And the idea that
they didn't capitalize on the break.
That you didn't punish them because of that, that goes back to what we're talking about with the quarterback.
A buddy of mine watched the game at Will's Northwood. He's a Packers fan. It's a big Packers bar. He said the building almost was burned down after that penalty on Clay there.
Unbelievable.
Because they're already at the 40-yard line now, and you're only needing a field goal at that point. So I agree with you. And the question
game-losing play. That's a game-losing play. Then they didn't lose the game because of it.
Absolutely. And so the questions that are going to follow Mitch forward are those 3 things that I mentioned. Pocket presence and accuracy and field vision. Is he seeing the right things? And I think there were times in that game where everything was going right. Obviously, the first drive was excellent. He was in rhythm. He was seeing the field. Because of that split, we're all going to have questions about the script and what happens when he goes off it. The Packers played more zone than the Bears expected, and Nagy downplayed that element of it. But he said on Monday, you know, he said, we're not at the point where we know where all the bones are buried in this offense. In other words, They don't know the answers. You know, Mitch doesn't know all the answers yet. Okay, how long can we watch that? You know, how long is that okay? And I'll say another thing, too.
I think it's real early to be starting to ask that, though.
I agree, but here's one thing, is that Nagy and quarterbacks coach Dave Ragone on Monday were very complimentary of Mitch, of how he commanded the huddle, how he endured the environment at Lambeau Field. At some point, that doesn't matter anymore, that you've got to win. You know, commanding the huddle and leading behind the scenes and doing the right things from Monday to Saturday, those are prerequisites to the real goal, which is winning. And if you don't win, then nobody wants to hear that stuff. And I think it's going to be interesting to keep a finger on the pulse of the fan base here as the results come in, how long they're willing to wait for the end result.
I don't think you're going to have to keep your finger on the fan base. You have to keep your finger in your ear so you don't hear the yelling, because if he's bad again, it's going to get louder and it's going to get more angry. And I think you're right. Real quick, before we let you go, a couple housekeeping things. Do you think Roquan Smith starts this week? And how many snaps do you think Khalil Mack, is he taking every snap from here on out?
Roquan Smith has to play, because the Bears are obviously treating this for the offense like an extension of the preseason, with Matt Nagy saying they need more time, let's just continue to work through things. So you got to put Roquan Smith on the field. Nick Kwiatkowski did not do enough in that game. Four tackles, none of them were closer to the line of scrimmage than 8 yards. You got to let Roquan play the game and just let him go out there as long as he's healthy to do it. I think Khalil Mack is going to play as many snaps as his body will let him. He was obviously tired by the end of that game. That touchdown return wore him out. But I think he starts, and I think he plays a lot more than he did last week. He already did play 42 of 59 snaps. So, yeah, maybe he plays the whole game, just however much he can take.
Rich, thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Rich.
Have a great week, guys. See ya.
That's Rich Campbell covering the Bears for the Chicago Tribune.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.